This is Uttani Kadashi 2007, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, some verses in the introduction, Bhagavat Stuti. And this nice verse describes how the sages are asking Suta Goswami, where are we going to find religion? A personification of religion, Lord Sri Krishna has left this planet at the end of Dwapara Yuga. And now what? What do we do now? How will we be saved? How will we be rescued? How will we attain perfection? So they said, yes, it is a fact that Krishna Swadamo Pagate, Upagate, Krishna has left, he's gone to his own abode, Swadam. And he's not gone alone, he's taken everything good with him. Dharma, he's taken it with him. Gyan, Dharma Ganadi Visaha, Saha means with or together. He's taken all these things with him. And Kalo Nashta Drishamesha. This Kalo Nashta Drisham. In Kali Yuga, Nashta Drish. Dristi, vision is destroyed. The eyes of knowledge are destroyed by the darkness of Kali Yuga. The light of knowledge that was shining in previous ages, in Dwapara Yuga, and Sat Yuga, and Treta Yuga, it is totally and absolutely extinguished by the pervasive, fathomless darkness of Kali Yuga. Kalo nashta drishti. Vision is, everyone's blind. Blind man, lame man. Puran arka danoditaha. So on one side there is darkness of Kali, blindness. On the other side there's arka. Arka means sun. Dun, intense light, the rays. Dunarko. Puran arka danoditaha. So this Puran is arko. Puran arko. This Srimad Bhagavatam, is arko. Like we say, Konark. Has anyone heard of Konark?
Yes.
Where is Konark?
Orissa.
Konark. So this says, Klo Nashta Drishamesha Puranarka Dunoditaha. Puranarko. So this Dunotita, Udita. Udit, like we say Deepam. Can we say Deepam? Gita, sit down. You have your place when you sit down. I'm running all over the place. So, Puranarka Dunodita. Dun Udita. Udita means very brilliant. And Dun, Dunodita. So this Puranarka, this Puran, Bhagavat Puran is like the sun, as brilliant as a sun. So this is the answer the sages gave when the question was asked, where can we find religious principles? And they said, you can find, Krishna's gone, but Krishna's not gone. Oh, how is that? Krishna's gone and he's not gone? How is he gone and not gone? He's gone because we don't see him. He's become a prakrit. He's left this world. He's gone to another world. He's gone to a swada. Krishna swada mo pagate, upagate. He's gone to a swadam. Vrindavan Dham, Shridam Vrindavan, the Prakat Dham. And he's left this world in darkness. Kalo Nashta Drishta, Drisho, Nashta Drisho. Vision annihilated. Dristi, everyone's blind. No one understands anything. But there's a good hope. Everything, Krishna's in the Bhagavatam. Puran Arka Dhanodita, this Duna Udita, it is risen like the sun, Arka. This great Bhagavat Puran. So this is a glorification. Then in 12th canto, there's another glorification of Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyam Ekam Amalam Gyanam Param Giyate Tatra Gyana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkarmyam Avishkritam Tachchinvan Supatan Vicharana Paro Bhaktya Vimuchyen Naraha. This is very beautiful. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. This is Amala Puran. There are 18 Purans, but this Puran is one of the 18. It's considered a Sattvic Puran, but actually it's more than Sattvic Puran. It's actually Radha Krishna Sarup, Prem Sarup, Rasa Sarup. Bhagavat Puran is Rasa Sarup of Krishna and Radha. And moreover, it's pure. There's nothing, no karma, gyan. There's nothing material here. There's only devotion, priti and prema in Bhagavatam. And therefore, it's very dear to the Vaishnavas. Because the Vaishnavas aren't interested in karma and gyan. They're interested in prema, Krishna prema, prema from Artha Mahan. So Vaishnavanam priyam, it's very dear to the Vaishnavas. Paramahamsam ekamamalam gyanam param gyate. Srimad Bhagavatam is a spotless Puran. It is most dear to the Vaishnavas because it describes pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahamsas. So all the great rishis, Paramahamsas, Deva rishis, Narada rishi, etc. They're giving their talks, their katha, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, these pure souls are giving their shud, harikatha, pure talks of Krishna. Bhagavatam reveals the means and the way to become free from all karma, material work, together with the processes of transcendental knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. Jnana virago bhakti sahitam naishkarmyam avishkritam. Anyone who seriously tries to understand Srimad Bhagavatam touch Trinvan Supatan Vichar. Trinvan means tries to hear the Supatan, this great literature with great vichar, with great consideration. Then what happens? If he properly hears and chants with devotion, he becomes completely liberated. Paro bhakti vimuchyen naraha. That person, he attains para bhakti, vraja bhakti. He attains the topmost form of pure bhakti, and he becomes vimucha. Vimucha means vimukti. Means a very vishesh mukti, a very special form of mukti. There are so many ordinary forms of mukti. Brahma sayuja mukti. There's swarga mukti in this world. There's varna mukti. Varna mukti means to go from shudra to vaishya. That's varna mukti. And then there's ashram mukti. There's so many forms of mukti. Silokya, sharsti, samipya. But there's vimukti, which is vishesh mukti. It's a very special form of mukti, which means you attain the prem seva of Krishna and Braja Gokul. Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Sri Bhagavatam Ishtyate Tadrasamrita Triptasya Nanyatra Syad Rati Kvachit. This is in 12th canto in Bhagavat Mahatmyam. The Bhagavat itself describes its own glories. Srimad Bhagavatam is the Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi. Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi. It is the essence of Sarva, all the Vedas and the Vedanta. One who has felt satisfaction by tasting the nectarian mellow of Srimad Bhagavatam will never be attracted to any other literature. So this is what's being said here. Tad rasa amrita triptasya. Triptos. If you read Bhagavatam, you feel satisfaction by the rasa amrit. I said Bhagavatam is a rasa grant. Rasa grant. It's a rasa filled scripture. So therefore, rasamrit triptasya, when one tastes the nectar of Bhagavatam, rasamrit triptasya, he becomes satisfied, santosh, samyak toshana, becomes completely fulfilled. He has no more hankering. So much, if one actually tastes Bhagavat rasamrita, if he actually tastes the Bhagavat rasamrita, what happens? He gives up eating. He gives up sleeping and he gives up drinking. And all his senses become ears. His eyes become ears. His nose becomes ears. His mouth becomes ears. His ears are ears. And his hands become ears. What does that mean? That means every sense organ of his body plus the tenth sense becomes the mind or the sixth sense. Becomes ears to drink, to hear and drink the nectar, Bhagavat Rasamrita, the nectar of Bhagavatam. Oh, you're saying this? Can you prove it? Is there any example? Yes, I can prove it. 5,000 years ago, there was one king, and he lived in north of Delhi. He sat on the bank of the Ganga, and he listened to Shukadeva Goswami for 7 days, and his name was Maharaj Parikshit. He didn't eat, he didn't sleep, he didn't drink any water. And every one of his senses, his whole body turned into ears to hear the nectar. Bhagavat Rasam Ras Amrit from Shukadev, from his mouth, Shuka Mukha Pivata, from the mouth of Shukadev Goswami. So this is, and then what happens? Then Nanyatra Syad Rati Kwachit. Rati. Vedavyas, he's making a challenge here. He's challenging everyone. What is the challenge? He's saying that I am giving you this nectar in 12 cantos. Rasamrita. Rasamrit. It's Rasagrant. Bhagavat Puran. And if you actually taste it, even one drop of it, then Nanyatra Rati Syad Rati Kwachit. You will not have any Rati. You will not have any Bhav, any attachment for any other Anyatra, for any other literature. Newspapers, it's simply stool. Magazines, books, garbage, trash. Dust for the dust bin. Trash for the trash can. Garbage for the garbage man. So if you take part in these literatures, you are nothing but trash. And you are nothing but a garbage man. Or a garbage woman. So you must hang your head down now. Because you read this nonsense literature. And now show your shyness. Show your shame. Show your shame and show your embarrassment by tilting your neck down. Now we, as your neck is hung down, we will chop your head off. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhuati. So this is the point that he's challenging. Please, you take this nectar, and if you actually taste Bhagavatam, or Kuchne, you won't want any of this garbage, trash, dust. There's no attraction. Movement is based on attraction. No attraction, no movement. You're attracted to garbage, so you move towards the garbage. Attracted to trash, move towards the trash. Newspapers is garbage. Mundane books are trash. Magazines is filth and dust. You're attracted, then you move, you touch it, you read it, you buy it. You subscribe to it. That's even better. Yearly subscription. 3 year subscription on sale. Trash for 3 years on sale. Regular price, 200 rupees. But 3 years, only 175. Oh, very good. Let me get 3 years trash on sale. Let garbage come into my house every month without fail. Because the trash is on sale. So this is the ignorance of Kali Yuga. No taste for higher things. Pram jistva nivartate. Niharastya dehina. Rasavarjam rasopyasya. Pram jistva nivartate. Rasavarjam. Ras increases. If you taste one drop of ras, that will turn into two. Two drops of ras will turn into three. And it will become bhakti rasamrita sindhu. Ocean of ras. And then you can't go back. Once you're drowning, it's too late. Once you're in the ocean, you're drowning, it's too late to go back to shore. You'll go bloop, 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 bloop. So we should drown in the rasa of Bhagavatam, and we'll never go back to garbage, dust bins, dust, filth. Can't think about it. Can't even think about it. It's not, now people are in this dilemma. They're two selves. Two selves. One side of me says, oh, I should read spiritual literature. They say it's good for me. I think it is. I have an idea it's good for me. But there's another side of myself that really wants to read the sports page. That really wants to read the beauty section. That really wants to read the movie section. That really wants to read politics. World, whatever. What's going on there? World events. There's a strong side of me. I really have to know. It's really essential, important. I can't sleep without knowing what's going on in Bangkok. And I don't think I can walk out the door this morning if I don't know what's going on in Lima, Peru. It's essential. It's all foolishness. It's all ignorance. Wasting precious time. Ya etat shravayan nityam yamakshanam ananyadi shlokam ekam tad ardham va param pad ardham eva va shravan yo nushinu yat punat yatmanam eva saha. 12th canto Bhagavatam. One who, with undeviating attention, constantly recites this Srimad Bhagavatam at every moment of every hour, as well as one who faithfully hears even one verse, or half a verse, or a single line, or even half a line, certainly punat atmanam eva saha. His atma becomes punya, punat. Becomes pure simply by half a line. Are you so busy? Are you so busy you can't read arda pad? Pada means one line of one shloka, charpad, ek shloka, charpad. You can't read arda pad? Half a line? To purify the self? Krishna Tulya Bhagavat Vibhu Sarva Shrai Prati Shloke Prati Akshare Nana Artakai. Mahaprabhu said, Srimad Bhagavatam is as great as Krishna himself. Krishna Tulya Bhagavat. This is the same as Hindi, Tul. It equals, it balances. Krishna is equal to the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is Krishna, Krishna is the Bhagavatam. Vibhu Sarva Shrai. Bhagavatam says Vibhu. Vibhu means great. We are Anu and God is Vibhu. Anor Aniyan, Mahato Mahiyan. Vibhu Chaitanya. Bhagavatam is as great as Krishna himself. And Sarva Ashray. It is the shelter of everything. Prati Shloke Prati Akshar. In each and every verse and syllable of Bhagavatam, there are multifaceted meanings. Nana art. Various. Nana means various. Art meanings. For the Bhagavatam is as infinite as Krishna. This is Mahaprabhu's statement. Prema Maya Bhagavata Krishnara Sri Anga Tahate Kahena Jata Gopya Krishnaranga. Mahaprabhu said, this Srimad Bhagavatam is full of Krishna Prema. Prema Maya Bhagavat. Maya, prema maya means it's saturated with prema, it's full of, it's consisting of, it's made of, dripping with Krishna prema. It is non-different from the beautiful body of Krishna, Krishnara Sriyanga. Krishnara Sriyanga, the anga, the limbs, the arms, the limbs, the head, the face, the feet, the hands. Sriyanga, beautiful, effulgent, attractive. Krishna Sriyanga. For the Bhagavatam describes Krishna's confidential pastimes. Gopya, Krishna, Ranga, Ranga, Gopya. Gopya means secret. Gopya, Ranga, the secret pastimes, the confidential pastimes of Krishna. Adi madhya ante Bhagavate ekai Vishnu bhakti nitya siddha akshaya avyai. Mahaprabhu said, in the Adi, Madhya, and Antya, beginning, middle, and end, the Bhagavatam speaks only, Bhagavat Kai, the Bhagavatam speaks of what? Vishnu Bhakti, only of devotional service to Krishna. As such, this literature is eternally perfect, Nitya Siddha, infallible, imperishable, everlasting, Akshay. And because it contains all truths pertaining to the infinite, avyaya. Bhagavata shastra se bhaktir tatva kahe teni bhagavata sama kona shastri nahe. Mahaprabhu said, since the Srimad Bhagavatam speaks exclusively of the truths of pure devotional service, Bhagavata shastra bhakti tattva kahe, It is unparalleled among all Shastras. There's no comparison. Nothing can compare it. Bhagavat sama kon shastra nahi. Shastra nahi, nahi. No other Shastra can compare with Bhagavatam. Sama means equal. Bhagavat sama. Or Shastra is not comparable. So these are some verses glorifying Bhagavatam. Should encourage us to take part in Bhagavatam as a regular daily function. This is killing of the demon Agasura. There's a little bit of snake inside all of us. Agasura was a snake, and Krishna entered that snake with his coward friends, and he killed that snake. So Krishna has also entered into us. We are also a snake. We are also snakes. So, we are that snake. And Krishna has also entered into us to kill our anarthas. How has Krishna entered into us? Through the ear. Shravanam. Right? Shravanam Kirtana Vishnu. So this story, killing of demon Agasura, we are that demon. And Krishna entered it, and he killed that demon who represents an anartha. So Krishna has entered our ear through the holy name to kill the anarthas. Shri Shukva Vacha Kvachit Vanashaya Mano Daddat Vrajat Pratak Samutaya Vayasya Vatsapan Prabodayan Tringa Vravena Charuna Vinirgato Vatsa Pura Sarohari. O King Parikshit, one day Krishna decided to take his breakfast as a picnic in the forest. There is no work for Krishna. All is play. Lila Dham. Here, this material world is characterized by karma and avidya. I have to keep this door from sleeping. It's too much competition. This material world is a plane of karma and avidya. Work, hard work, struggle, karshati, and ignorance. But the spiritual world is a land of play. No struggle, only play. And there's no ignorance, there's no darkness. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar. Krishna's Surya Sama, Krishna's light, and he lives in the world of light, and he plays lightly, and he walks lightly, and he speaks lightly. There's all light there, there's all Shakti, Sarup Shakti there. So, one day, alright, let's have a picnic, let's go in the forest. Rising early in the morning, he blew his singha, his bugle made of buffalo horn. And he woke up all the coward boys and calves with the beautiful sound of his bugle. Oh, did you hear that? Oh, yeah, that sounds like Krishna's bugle. It's really nice. I guess what's in his mind today? What will we do today? Oh, I don't know. Let's go meet him. Let's go meet Krishna and hear what the plan is for today. Because there's no work. It's only play. Then, Krishna and the boys, keeping their calves with them, proceeded from Brajabhumi to the forest. So this is Poganda Lila, from the age of 5 until 9 or so, 10. And this took place in Chatikar. Krishna lived about 3 years, 7 months in Gokul. Then he shifted to Chatikar, and he stayed 3 years and 7 months in Chatikar. And then he left Chatikar and went to Nandagaon and stayed for 3 years and 7 months. So total about 11 years Krishna stayed in Braj. So this is before Gopastami, when he was given the charge of the cows. He's still Vatsa. He's Vatsapal. He's not Gopal yet. He's Vatsapal. Gopal is when he becomes the protector of the cows on Gopastami in Kartik, which we observed. in his sixth year, when he's 6 years old, he was given charge of the cows and became known as Gopal. Now he's Vatsapal. He's the protector of the calves. So he's little and he takes care of little cows. Calves. Vatsa. And when he grows up and becomes a big boy, he takes care of a big guy. Big guy takes care of a guy. So when he becomes a big guy, he takes care of the guy, the cows. He's a big man when he's 6 years old. Then he's given charge. Nanda Baba says, "You're big now. Take this lagudi. Ek lagudi. Lilo. One stick, cow herding stick. You take this now. And you go. You wander. Take the cows. You're a big boy now. You go." "Oh, thank you, Father. I shall go." And he goes. But now he's little. So it doesn't go very far from the village of Chatikar. So keeping their caste before them, they proceeded from Brajabhumi to the forest. This verse, Vishnu says, this is the word Hari. Vatsa Pura Saro Hari. Why does it say Hari? It says Hari, which is Krishna's name, because Rohini, that particular day, forcefully kept Balaram at home in order to bathe him and perform other auspicious rites on his birthday. So the killing of the demon Agasura took place on Balaram's birthday, which is a different day depending on what Shastra you follow. Brijvasis generally celebrate Balaram's appearance day on Chot, something like Chot, sixth day of the Vajramas or something. And we celebrate on, what was it, Purnima or something? Mm-hmm. On Purnima. They celebrate in Shasti. It's called Balaram Chot or something. So on this day when Krishna killed the demon Agasura, as you read the story, you don't see any mention of Balaram because it was his birthday. And he was forcefully kept home. Mothers have to do that often. Children don't like to stay home. They like to go with their friends and play. So Balaram wants to play with his younger brother and Subal and Sridham. His mother Rohini said, no, it's your birthday. We have to do all these rituals. You have to call the Brahmins in. They have to bless you. You have to do home and puja and give charity. And we have to mark your body and chant auspicious mantras. Oh, do I have to? I don't want to do all this junk. I don't want to do all these rituals and all this. I want to play. Everyone, look, everyone's going. All the boys are going. All the calves are going. Krishna's going. They look so happy. And I heard today they're going to a special picnic in the forest. I don't want to miss it. What do I have to stay? This is swaha, this, that, the other thing. Let me go. No, hey, you stay home. Hey, come here. Forcefully. He didn't happily or willfully stay home. Tine evasakam prituka sahasra snigdha susig vetra vishana venava swan swan sahasro pari sankhya yanvitan vatsan puraskritya vinirya yurmuda. At that time, hundreds and thousands of cowherd boys streamed out of their homes in Brajabhumi to join Krishna, keeping before them hundreds and thousands of groups of calves. The boys were very beautiful. And they were equipped with lunch bags. I wonder what the Sanskrit is. Lunch bags. That's nice. Lunch bags. You would say tiffins. Bugles, flutes and sticks for controlling the calves. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, this word prituka refers to the cowherd boys. They were holding sticks, horns, flutes and lunch bags. And it talks about numbers. It was lots of them. It describes something about different meanings of different numbers. One should not argue, however, by asking the question, how can such a large number of cows possibly fit into 32 square miles area of Vrindavan, Chaurasi Kosh? Because, how is that so? There's millions of cows. One time they said, there were some devotees, some mathematical devotees, they were reading in the Bhagavatam, it talked about the bodyguards, the whatever you call, chokidar or whatever, the bodyguards of King Ugrasen. He had something like 36 trillion bodyguards. And someone calculated, if you stood all those bodyguards, those men, up, standing, and they were back to back in a line, like Avali, like Deepavali, one guard and another guard in a queue, that they would circumambulate, they would cover every part of the world. They would go all the way around the Earth planet and cover every inch of the continents with lines and lines of guards, like ribbons or bands around the Earth, rubber bands. So 36 trillion bodyguards. So it's inconceivable, achintya. So here, Vishnath is saying, someone may say, well, wait a minute. Because these Sanskrit words here are saying sahasra, sahasra, pritika sahasra, was thousands and thousands, sahasro, sahasrapari, sankhya, yanvitan. Nobody's commenting on the meaning of this. He says, actually, how is this possible? Because Vrindavan Dham is unlimited by the inconceivable energy of the Lord. Even a small portion of the holy Dham is sufficient to accommodate billions of universes, each measuring 50 million miles in diameter. So we're living right now, and we're sitting in a small portion of Vrindavan Dham. So in this small property, we can actually fit billions of universes. So, figure that out. Krishna showed this to Brahma in a later chapter by not stealing the cows. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami says, there is no question of impediments, obstacles, or limitations because the Lord, His associates, and His holy Dham have inconceivable power, achintya shakti. Krishna's cowherd boyfriends were ornamented by their mothers with crystal necklaces and gunja seed beads before entering the forest. Once in the forest, however, they ornamented themselves with flowers and forest fruits. So they've rather trade in their crystal necklaces for some champak flowers, or trade in their gunja beads. They like that, they'll keep that. Krishna vatser asankyater yuti kritya savatsakhan charyantyo rabba lilabir vijavrus tatra tatraha. Along with the cowherd boys and their own groups of calves, Krishna came out with an unlimited number of calves. Then all the boys began to sport in the forest in a greatly playful spirit. Sounds attractive. A greatly playful spirit. Sporting. No one ever sports. No one sports. Do adults sport around? Adults drag around. Adults, when you grow up, you simply drag your body from the house to the work, the work to the house. You drag around. And drag your body to the car, and drag it. And here the boys are sporting. They began to sport in the forest in a greatly playful spirit. It's nice. Playful. Joy. Fala prabala stavaka. Sumana pichadattubi kacha gunja mani swarna bushita apyabush ayana. Although the coward boys were already decorated by their mothers with ornaments of kacha, gunja, pearls and gold, when they went into the forest, They further decorated themselves with fruits, green leaves, bunches of flowers, peacock feathers, and powdered minerals. They were highly decorated and ornamented by the usual necklaces, pearl necklaces, gold bangles, rings, etc. But then they further adorned themselves with the Braj Bhushana. Braj Bhushana means the ornaments of Braj, the natural ornaments of Braj. This is a natural place, pastoral setting, a country place. Pearls don't grow here. They come from the ocean. And these minerals, these gems, they come from ocean also. But what we have in Braj is peacock feathers, morpunk, and we have gunja berries, and we have different colored dirt. Even nowadays, they describe the different types of dirt in Braj. Pilamiti, kalamiti. I remember when we were developing this kunja for Radharani's pleasure, everyone told me, you must get pilamiti, yellow dirt, because kalamiti is not very good. And I said, oh, why is that? You have something against black things? Kalamiti, this black dirt, you don't like? No, here in Radhakund, we don't like black things very much. We don't favor Krishna's party here. This is Radha Dham. This is Radhakund. We don't like so much kalamiti. Besides, you can't grow anything in kalamiti. Black miti is not good. If you want to grow flowers and to offer to Krishna and Radha, then you have to get pilamiti. Oh, okay, I see. Very nice. Yellow dirt, golden dirt, Radharani dirt. In Radhakund, you have to have Radharani dirt. I said, where can I get yellow dirt? And they said, in a village called Yamuna Mata. That's the name of the village, Yamuna Mata. I said, oh, that's very interesting. Yamuna Mata. Kalindi, who is black, is giving yellow dirt. Kalindi means black, and that's another name for Yamuna. So we went, sent the tractors down there to Yamuna Mata, and brought 200 trolleys of dirt, yellow miti. So this, even today, we have yellow dirt and black dirt. And when Krishna, the coward boys, were going out with the calves, they found yellow dirt and black dirt and red dirt and white dirt and all different kinds of dirt. And they would mix that with some Jamuna Jal and make a paste, and they would decorate their face gopa dots. and then some leaves or vines and decorations on their face. Reddish brown and brown and dark brown and purple brown, many, many colors. Even today we know we have copper sulfate, which is blue, potassium permanganate, which is kind of purplish dark color. Even we have these chemicals and different types of minerals in the earth even today. So this is, they like these things. So they really look so beautiful and so attractive. Natural beauty. They didn't need hair conditioner and all kinds of plastic things and artificial chemicals. These are the natural opulences of Braj. Krishna worships this land, and this land worships Krishna. And everything in this land is so sacred and so dear and so sweet. This is land that in Vrindavan is the greatest Aishwarya. There's the greatest majesty and opulence here, and the greatest sweetness. And the opulence is of a natural variety. Natural opulence. Flowers and fruits and mineral powders and cow dung patties and peacocks and parrots and the Jamuna and the waterfalls and the lakes and the gopis carrying water pots and churning yogurt into butter and singing songs. This is the beauty of Braj. So now, what kind of sporting did they do? Because we hear that the coward boys were sporting around and engaged in their play. Mushnanton yonya shikyadin gyantanarach chikshipu tatyas cha punar durayad dashantas cha punar dadu. All the coward boys used to steal one another's lunch bags, steal their tiffins. When a boy came to understand that his lunch bag had been stolen, the other boys would throw it even farther away to a more distant place. And those standing there would catch it and then throw it further. So as soon as he would run after his tiffin and almost get his hands on it, some other boys would pick it up and throw it even further. And he would run over in that direction, and then some other boys, oh, this is your tiffin? Oh, okay. And then they'd throw it 10 feet further. Hey, come on, give me my tiffin. You guys, stop it. This is not right. My mother took a lot of care to make that tiffin. Now you're throwing it upside down, the dal will spill on my roti. So then, and then they catch it. Oh yeah, this is yours? Okay. So then it's like playing just with the tiffin they were sporting around. When the proprietor of the lunch bag became disappointed, the other boys would laugh. Then the proprietor, the owner of the tiffin, would cry. And then the bag would be returned. Oh, don't cry. It's okay. I mean, gee, don't be a spoiled sport. Here's your tiffin. Come on, take your tiffin. It's okay. Don't cry. You take my tiffin. That's not fair. I'm not going to play you anymore. The coward boys used to steal each other's articles. One boy would steal another's food container, take it to a distant place, and hide it under a tree surrounded by thorn bushes and red ants. Now see the scene. I mean, they sound like they're diabolical. How mean, how terrible. It's one thing to throw my tiffin in the grass, but it's another thing to throw my tiffin under some bobble tree, all these thorns, and then it happens to be, and you throw it right on top of an anthill full of red ants. And everyone knows that red ants bite very tightly. Black ants, they only kiss. They don't bite. They walk around, they walk on your hand and walk up and down your arm and then go somewhere else. But red ants, as soon as they meet you, they bite you. They're very intimate. Without even marrying you or establishing any formal relationship, they immediately assume a position of intimacy. As soon as they touch you, they bite you. Is it nice? No, because their bite has poison also. Their mouth has poison. So when they bite you, it stings. It hurts and it stings and it lingers on. And you'll never forget the red ant that bit you on Monday. So this is the situation. Now, just see how clever these boys are. They're very clever. It's one thing to stash somebody's lunch bag behind a tree. But how clever they are. Where am I going to put? Oh, look at these thorn bushes. Now this will really be good. And he puts it inside. Look at all these red ants. Oh, I'll put it on there and they'll crawl over. When he goes to retrieve his stolen tiffin, he'll cut his hands on the thorns. Oh, that's nice. And then when he touches the tiffin, all the red ants will jump on his hands and bite him and sting him. Oh, that's also very nice. Oh, wait a minute. Are you sure you want to go to the spiritual world? Are you sure about your proposal? These guys sound a little wild. I mean, there's red ants up there too? And there's thorn trees too? I thought there was only thorn trees here. So just believe it or not, when you go to the spiritual world and embark on a Govardhan Parikrama, yes, it's a fact. You will also step on a thorn. Because there's also thorns there. And this point is proven in Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Gopakumar. Example, Gopakumar was born in Govardhan in this Aprakat Leela. And then finally he attained the Prakat Leela of the Lord. He attained Govardhan in the spiritual world. And he went there. He said, wait a minute. This everything's the same as I came from. The cows, the buffaloes, the thorns, the thorn trees, everything's the same. Did I come anywhere? Did I go anywhere? Am I still in Braj? This is the point that Sanatana Goswami wants to make. So, as above, so below. That this Braj and that Braj are the same. They actually are the same. It's only a change of consciousness. Now we're in Mayak consciousness. When we're in Krishna consciousness, then we realize this is the spiritual world. Radha and Krishna's pastimes are here. We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Nitya Leela with the Nitya Parikars, the gopas. And there's thorns and there's red ants. Because everyone has the idea that spiritual world means swarga. Spiritual world means swarga. Dancing girls, handsome men, luscious chapan bog, chaka chak bog, and everything nice and no thorns and sweet everything. And no, this is, you can see all this variety. And all this variety exists for the pleasure of the Lord. Yadi duram gata krishno vana shobekshanayatam aham purvam iti samsprishya remire. Sometimes Krishna would go to a distant place to see the beauty of the forest. Then all the other boys would run after him. Each one saying, I shall be the first to touch Krishna. Watch me run. I shall touch him first. Aham purvam, aham purvam. Right? Aham, I will be purva. Purva, prior, first. The beginning, I will be the first one. In this way, they enjoyed life by repeatedly touching Krishna. That definitely is a samsprishya remire. Remire means pleasure, like Raman, satisfaction, by touching Krishna. So then Vishnu says basically the same thing. When Krishna wandered off to see the forest, the beauty in the distance, boys would run after him shouting, I will touch Krishna first. No, I will. No, I will. In this way, they played. So this is a fact that one can enjoy life by touching Krishna. We have the idea, which is very deeply ingrained in our consciousness, that I can enjoy life by touching Maya, by embracing Maya. This is our idea, that this will give me happiness. But the Bhagavatam is telling something else. The associates of Krishna, devotees of Krishna, they enjoy life by touching Krishna. So how can we touch Krishna? Where is Krishna? Hey Rad, hey Vrajadevi ke chalalite, hey Nanda suno kuta, Goshanta vatisarvaja pure. There's Six Goswamis, hey, where is Krishna? Is he in Govardhan? Is he on the banks of the Yamuna? Is he in Vamshivat? Is he in Barsana, Nandagan, Radhakund? Where is he? Hey Radha, hey Vrajadevi, where is Radha? Where is the Vrajadevis? How can we touch him? You can't touch someone you can't see. Can you? You can't touch someone you can't feel. But we can touch Krishna. We can touch Krishna in his sound form. His form in sound. Nam Rup Avatar. Kali Kalera Dharma. In Kali, Krishna, in Kali Yuga, Krishna comes in Nam Rup Avatar. He descends in this age in the form, in the body of his holy name, Nam Rup. Krishna Nam Rupam. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Vigraha means form. Archamurti. Deity. Deity. Idol. Murti. Vigraha. And it's Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Chaitanya is alive. This Vigraha is living. This Nam Vigraha is alive. If Krishna is standing before you, he's very much Chaitana. Nityo Nityananam, Chaitanas Chaitananam. Nityo Nityananam, Chaitanas Chaitananam. Krishna is very much Chaitana. And he's very much alive. And the coward boys are touching this living transcendental personality, Krishna, and they're feeling very much happiness and satisfaction. So the name, the Nam Rup avatar, the Rup of Krishna that's descended before us to be touched by us, perceived by us, felt by us, is the name of Krishna, Nam, Nam Rup. And that the Padma Purana is saying that form of Krishna is Chaitanya, Chaitanya, live, alive, with rasa. Akila rasa mrita murti. It's described, Krishna is described as Akila rasa mrita murti, the very form of nectarine rasas. And that form is the name, Krishna Nam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We can touch Krishna by touching the name, having the name of Krishna touch our ears, and having our ears pass the name to our heart. And then we can embrace Krishna heart to heart. We can embrace Krishna heart to heart in the form of His Nam, Nam Rupam. And this Vigraha is alive. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. This Nam is a Rasa Vigraha. It is a Murti of unlimited variegated rasas. So when we chant the holy name, we have some very wonderful treasures awaiting for us. This rasa, this taste, this pleasure. And as the coward boys are experiencing, they enjoyed life by repeatedly touching Krishna. Do you want to enjoy life? Yes, enjoy. The advertisers, they write everywhere, enjoy, enjoy. Pepsi Cola, enjoy. Coca-Cola. Cookie Cola. Enjoy, enjoy. So the coward boys are saying, yeah, okay. Here's our, Maya's making her proposal. Touch me, enjoy. Maya is saying, touch me, enjoy. And the coward boys are saying, Acha, what is this proposal of Maya? Listen to us. Gopa Uvacha. The coward boys are saying, touch Krishna and enjoy. You can enjoy by touching Krishna. Acha, how can I touch Krishna? I can't see him. Where can I find him? Oh, you can't see him. Hare Krishna. There he is. Let me try again. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. And sometimes, as he does in his coward form, coward boy form, he plays Luka Luki. Luka Luki. I Luki for you, and you Luki for me. I Luki for you, and you Luki for me. Luka Luki, Luka Luki, or whatever it is. Hide and seek. He hides, and you seek. So he's hiding, and we are seekers, pilgrims, seeking, searching the Lord, the quest for God. Where is he? Can I see him? Is he to be seen? Can God be seen? Where can I find him? Can you show me God? Everyone will meet a guru. So many people met Prabhupada. Can you show me God? Prabhupada said, yes. Okay, show me. All right, submit to me, and I'll show you. Become my disciple, and I'll show you. Oh, well, wait a minute, I'm a little busy right now. Then you don't want to see God. There's a process. Can you walk, can you go to the college and say, give me a degree in medicine? Yes, all right, we'll give you a degree. First, enroll in the college. First, pay your fees. First, attend the classes. First, pass the exams. Then we'll give you a degree. You think you can get a degree by saying, give me a degree in medicine. But you want to go to the guru, the spiritual teacher, and say, show me God. You see the fallacy, the foolishness of such a proposal. The ass-like mentality of Kali Yuga. The greatest achievement, the greatest accomplishment you want with a finger snap. And simply to get a mundane degree in medicine, it takes you 10 years. Hard labor and lots of money and bribes or whatever. So this is, everyone will approach the Guru. Can you show me God? Yes, I can. Have you seen God? They would ask Prabhupada, have you seen God? And Prabhupada said, yes, I can also show him to you. He wasn't trying to be proud and establish exclusivity. He wasn't trying to establish exclusivity. Yes, I've seen God, but you can. It's not like Bill Gates. I got the money, but you don't. Bill Gates has billions, and you have nothing. But when Prabhupada was challenged this way, have you seen God? Yes, and I can show him to you also. So this is an extraordinary offer. But very few takers are there. So the coward boys are giving this alternative, positive alternative. Enjoy. Yes, enjoy. By samsprishya. Touch Krishna completely. Sam means completely. Completely touch Krishna. Touch Krishna with your heart. Touch Krishna with your mind. Touch Krishna with your senses. Touch Krishna with your total being. Atma Krishna Sansparsha. Your soul should touch Krishna. How? Hare Krishna. As they say, chant Hare Krishna. And that's the beginning. First you touch Krishna with your ears. And then everything else will follow suit. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So everyone's trying to touch Krishna. I shall be the first to touch Krishna. I shall be the first to run and touch Krishna. So is anyone in this room running in their attempt to touch Krishna? Running to touch Krishna means enthusiasm, utsaha nishchaya dharyat. Enthusiasm. Running means rapid motion, not sitting. It means rapid motion. So the boys are saying, yes, Krishna has gone to a distant place. He's gone to enjoy something in the forest, some beautiful scenery. Well, that's a fact. Krishna has gone to a distant place because we're not very enjoyable. If we were enjoyable, he would stay with us. Like the husband leaves the wife and she's not enjoyable, or the wife leaves the husband. So Krishna's gone to a distant place to enjoy something. So he's also distant from us because we're not very enjoyable in our putrid state of consciousness. Putrid state of consciousness. What is putrid? It means decaying, stinking, stale, greed, kam, krodh, loh, moha, matsarya. This is putrid. Not very... not very fragrant, not very attractive. We are not attractive, so Krishna is not attracted. Because he is the personification of attraction. He is all attractive, and he also is attracted to attractive things. And he's also attracted to attractive people. People that are like Radharani. If someone is like Radharani, he's very attractive. Utterly, absolutely, and completely attracted by Srimati Radhika. What is attractive about Radharani? What's so attractive about Radharani? Is it her form? Is it her feminine beauty and charm? It's her dedication. It's her absolute dedication to the pleasure of Krishna. It's her total effacement of any personal ambition or desire. She is single-pointed on the happiness of Krishna, ekantika. Ekanti, ekantika, bhakti. She has no other idea in her mind than Krishna, and no other desire in her heart but the happiness of Krishna. No other plan in her mind than how to bring pleasure and satisfaction to Krishna. Therefore, Radharani is so attractive. She is so attractive that she attracts the personification of attraction. This is Radharani. So Krishna doesn't run to a distant place from people like that. And no one has to run to catch him. So the coward boys are saying, yes, I shall be the first to run and touch Krishna. So we should also have that conviction, that sankalpa. Yes, why am I going so slow? Or why am I not touching Krishna? I'm chanting so much Nam, but I'm not touching Krishna. Only Akshar. Akshar, only syllables are coming, but no Rupam. Where is the Rasa Vigraha? Where's the Rasa Vigraha? Where's that living Nam? Namachintamani, Krishna's Chaitanya. Where's that life force of the Nam? Where's that living form, that beautiful, sweet and attractive form of Krishna appearing in my mind and heart as the name for me to touch? I want to run. Let me be the first to run and touch Krishna. And so much wonderful things in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Every shloka, every half a shloka, every word is so inspiring. Kechit venun vidayanto dumanta shringani kechana kechit bringe pragayanta kujanta kokile pare vichayabi prada manto Gachanta saruham sake pakarupa vishantas cha nrityantas cha kalapibi vikarshanta kishabalan arohantas chater druman vikurvantas chate sakam plavantas cha palashishu sakam beker filang vilagnanta sarita shavasampluta Vihasanta pratichchaya shapantascha pratiswanan hitam satam brahma sukha anubhutya dasyam gatanam para daivatena mayashritanam naradarakena sakam vijavru kritapunyapunja. This famous verse. This is many verses from the chapter Killing of the Demon Agasura, chapter 12. And more about the coward boys. There, the coward boys are there, and we are here. But we are endeavoring to go there. All the boys would be differently engaged. So there's different services there. Everyone has some service they're rendering. No one is idle. There's no idleness there. But there's no work either. Here, this is interesting paradox. Here, no one is idle. Everyone is very busy, very busy, very, very busy. You go up to 1 5-year-old boy. Oh, what are you doing? Can you do something for me? No, I'm very, very busy. I'm playing in the sandbox with my sister. I'm very, very busy. Can you come to the temple and chant Hare Krishna? No, I'm very busy. And you go to the 50-year-old man or the 20-year-old girl or anybody. Everyone's so busy. Very, very, very busy. No time for anything, especially anything spiritual. So there, no one's idle here. And everyone's engaged. But everyone's engaged in maya, illusion, and activities which are against the welfare of the soul, and certainly not for the pleasure of Krishna. In the spiritual world, no one is idle. Everyone is engaged. Everyone has seva. They have their nitya seva, or their particular seva that's given to them according to the pastime. So everyone was engaged. All the coward boys were doing something for the pleasure of Krishna. Some were blowing their flutes, others were blowing their horn, their bugles made of horn, buffalo horn. Some were imitating the buzzing of the bumblebees. You can imagine, it almost sounds, in one sense, it sounds like you go into a nut house. You go into a crazy house, a psychiatric house, And you see some people sitting in chair going, ha, 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 ha. You know, some people are diseased, and some guy's going like this. And what's with him? Oh, he's like, you know, he's a little screwed. Another guy's going, duh, duh, duh. And everyone's doing something different. Some funny actions, because their brain is just not working. It's rattled. Screws are loose. So if you see the scene, if you try to see the scene, some boys are going, bzz, 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 bzz. Other boys are blowing bugles, wah, wah. other boys are blowing foos. And you're like, wow, what's going on here? It's really quite a wild scene in one sense. If you actually try to see what you're reading, other boys are imitating the voice of the cuckoo, and other boys are imitating the flying of birds, running after the bird's shadows on the ground. Some are imitating the beautiful movements and attractive postures of the swans. Some sat down with the ducks, sitting silently. And other boys imitated the dancing of the peacocks, you know. It was like wild scene here. Some boys attracted young monkeys in the trees. Some jumped into the trees, imitated the monkeys. Some made the faces as the monkeys were accustomed to do. You know, some boys went to the waterfalls and crossed over the river, jumping with the frogs. And when they saw their own reflections on the water, they would laugh. Ho, ho, ho. They would condemn the sound of their own echoes. Actually, in the Krishna book, this is the Bhagavatam. In the Krishna book, it says that the coward boys, they would go into some cave and say, hey! And then they would go, hey! And then they say, hey, you dirty guy! they would say dirty words into some well, abandoned well. They'd say, hey, jerk! And say, hey, jerk! Hey, you stupid jerk! You stupid jerk! Some, of course, it would be more... not so more bad or worse than that. Some dirty bad things, whatever. So they would condemn the sound of their own echoes. In this way, all the coward boys used to play with Krishna, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence for jnanis desiring to merge into that effulgence, who is the supreme personality of Godhead for devotees who accepted eternal servitorship, and for ordinary persons is but another ordinary child. The coward boys have accumulated the results of pious activities for many lives. Therefore, Krita Punya Punja, they were able to associate with Krishna. How can one explain their great fortune? So Vishwanath gives a little further details about this rather joyous group here. Everyone engaged in their own frivolous ways for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna was simply looking around. Oh, this guy's going woo woo, and this guy's going woo woo. This guy's going. Everyone's doing something different for the pleasure of Krishna, and he's really enjoying the scene. It's like a living in a circus or something. There's really quite a lot of different acts in the circus, like the coward boy circus. They're quite a versatile bunch. Very, very adroit and adept at a variety of activities. Imitating the sounds of peacocks, making faces at monkeys, jumping in the water after the frogs, chasing the shadows of the birds on the ground, blowing buffalo bugles, imitating the sounds of the quail or cuckoo, dancing like peacocks, imitating the graceful movements of the swans, and in this way giving Krishna a lot of entertainment and a lot of belly laughs. He got a lot of belly laughs. He's, oh, look at that. Look at that car. Blowing his bugle. This is play, the land of play. Leela means play. No work over here. No hardship. No struggle. No anxiety. Vaikuntha. No bills to pay. Post no bills. There are no bills posted there. No debts, no loans, no mortgages, no exams for those who are being examined. The coward boys blew their bugles made of buffalo horn. They chased the shadow of the birds and pulled the tails of the baby monkeys. And you can imagine what happened when they did that. Then the mother would come. They would climb the trees by... Oh, this is a real good one. I wouldn't advise anyone imitating this. Because these monkeys are different than the monkeys of Krishna's Leela. I mean, nowadays. The boys would climb the trees by grabbing the tails of the monkeys hanging down from the branches. After imitating the funny faces of the monkeys, the boys would jump from tree branch to branch. They leaped after the frogs into the pools of water, which were created by the cascading waterfalls. Upon seeing their reflections on the water, they would laugh heartily. Raising their arms, the boys would shout loudly in a playful mood, "Aribo!" Then they would curse their echoes, saying, "Are! Who is that speaking?" Hearing a single syllable echo back, the boys would become angry. "What is this?" The echo would reply, "Ure, ure, ure, ure." And the boys would say, "Today you will die!" In this way they would curse again and again and never come to an end. Because it's an echo. After describing the playing of the coward boys, this verse concludes by describing the good fortune of the Brijbasis as compared with others. There are three types of people in this world: Karmis, Gyanis, and Bhaktas. The word Satam, the verse is there, Satam, indicates those Gyanis who possess some trace of devotion. The inhabitants of Braj used to play freely with Krishna, who is the source of the knowledge and happiness the Gyanis seek in Brahman. One can understand from this that Krishna's body, with which the Brijbasis played, contains Brahman. The word Satam cannot apply to those Gyanis who think that Krishna's body is material. The phrase Dasya Ganan refers to all genuine devotees besides the Brijbasis who see Krishna as their worshipful Lord. The Brijbasis were so fortunate that they directly played with Krishna, who is seen by these other devotees as their reverent lords. The Brijbasis joyfully sported with Krishna, who is perceived as an ordinary man by the materialistic sense enjoyers covered by the illusory potency of the Lord. Gyanis have realization of Krishna, but they cannot play with him. Dasya Bhaktas, surrendered servants, worship Krishna in reverence, but they are not qualified to play with Krishna. Karmis have no respect for Krishna, so neither they realize nor worship him, what to speak of playing with him. Although Krishna is made of complete bliss, he experienced intense ecstasy playing with the Brijbasis in various pastimes of love. They too attain the pinnacle of joy in Krishna's association. Therefore, the Brijbasis were more fortunate than everyone else. Of course, this is a material viewpoint. For the Nityasiddha Brijbasis, who are Krishna's eternal associates, they far surpass Gyanis and Dasya Bhaktas. The cause of their playing with Krishna is not material piety, punya. Because this verse contains the phrase krita punya punja. So you might say, well, how is it? Simply by punya, accumulating punja, lots of, or heaps of, or large amounts of punya, that means you can play with Krishna? And Vishnu is saying, no, not like that. The Gyanis also have a lot of punya, and even Karmis may have a lot of punya, but not enough to play with Krishna. So he's saying that this verse, doesn't mean that, because they're eternal associates. Here, the word punya can only mean activities pleasing to Krishna, by which Krishna comes under the devotee's control. It does not mean material piety or heaps of good deeds. Quite an interesting viewpoint of Vishnu. So he's saying, krita punya punja, The coward boys, they got the opportunity to play with Krishna, to touch Krishna, to wrestle with him, to eat with him, to frolic and sport with him in Vrindavan, not because of punya, but because their intense desires to please Krishna in these various ways. They had lots and lots of, they had heaps and heaps of desire to please Krishna. They were already liberated. They didn't do anything to get liberated. But this was their basic emotional framework. They just had Krishna's pleasure in their mind. Therefore, Krishna was controlled by their love, and he could not leave them, and he gave himself to them. He allowed himself to be touched by them, to be enjoyed by them, and to be served by them because of their intense desire to please him.